All right, let's go to Adam Teicher and talk a little football with Adam Teicher from ESPN. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good, Steven. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for coming on the show. Before we get into the Chiefs, I read this in the Monday Morning Quarterback column, and I thought this was interesting. And since this is a team that's in the division, it means something, you know. I don't think the Raiders or the Chargers or the Broncos are going to catch the Chiefs anytime soon in the division. But, okay, so in Monday Morning Quarterback, in this column, it stated that the Broncos made an offer in February to Detroit for Matthew Stafford. They wanted to send the number 9 pick to Detroit with a second rounder coming back. And so it wasn't a great offer. They were outbid. Carolina had a better offer. And so, but this has been like the third or fourth time that it's been leaked out there that the Broncos have been pursuing another quarterback, which can't be great for the team's confidence in Drew Lock or Drew Lock's confidence in the team. So I'm just curious what you think is going to happen with the Broncos. Do you think they're going to try to move up and draft a quarterback? They have the number 9 pick. Do you think they're still pursuing a quarterback? There's not much left out there. Or do you think they're just going to roll with Drew Lock this year? Because that could be a tough thing to do after you've flirted with everyone at the bar and you're like, I'll still go home with you.
What do you think? Yeah, and they were sniffing around. The Broncos were kind of sniffing around Sam Darnold, too. So, yeah, they tried to do something. I think that number 4 pick in the draft that the Falcons have may be in play for the Broncos if that's what they want to do.
Oh.
If they want to go get Trey Lance or somebody, you know, yeah. I mean, they've been looking around, so obviously they're not happy, probably for good reason. So, yeah, I think the Broncos are a quarterback away from having a pretty good roster, you know. I mean, that's a pretty big piece to be missing right now. But, you know, you started off, Stephen, by saying you don't think the Chargers, the Broncos, the Raiders are going to catch the Chiefs anytime soon. And you well could be right, but I think particularly the case of the Chargers are making the right moves. I think they're narrowing the gap maybe a little bit. So, you know, this thing looked like the AFC West maybe looked like it was going to be a slam dunk for the Chiefs for years and years. It looks less like that to me now. And that's no reflection on the Chiefs. It's maybe more of a reflection on what the rest of the division is doing. I mean, the Chargers have their quarterback now. Broncos, I like their moves that they've made so far during the offseason. I'm not sure what the Raiders are doing. I don't know that I necessarily...
Right. Who does? Yeah, they don't either.
Pretty strongly are on the right path here.
I guess the way I look at it, they were having trouble catching the Chiefs when it was Andy Reid and Alex Smith, and now with Reid and Mahomes. And look, they could close the gap. But that's a hell of a gap. That's a 6-game gap they got to close. So they might close it, and they might still lose the division by 3 games. So I like the Chiefs, but I get what you're saying. I do like the shot you took of the Raiders. That would be interesting to see if the Falcons indeed are interested in trading that pick and if the Broncos were one of the teams that would be interested in moving up. Jake is very intrigued. Also, Jake identifies a little bit with the Broncos because last couple of years he's been sniffing around Sam Darnold. He loved him as a prospect and thinks that he's going to be a star still in Carolina, right?
No, I do. Okay. I think it's going to be a great move for him.
He's locked in right now.
Ruled on. I think it's great.
So now, Adam, you don't have to wait 3 weeks. Go ahead and reveal what position will the Chiefs be taking in the first round of the NFL draft, please?
Well, we know where the holes are, right? You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see them do the tackle thing, but, you know, I don't think they're going to force it. I think if they don't feel like there's somebody there who can help them, I don't feel like they'll necessarily feel compelled to do that. So I could see it going in a bunch of different ways. You know, I think wide receiver is maybe a position that I think is underrated by some Chiefs fans in what they could do with that first pick. You know, the way they were looking around at wide receivers, you know, like Juju Schuster-Smith, you know, that indicates to me they want some help there, you know. And so that's a position I look at. You know, the center thing is interesting to me. You know, they signed Austin Blythe, so they have a guy certainly they could plug in, but I don't think it's a slam dunk that he'll be their starter, or even if he is, that he's the long-term solution here. So, I think there's that. There's a possibility. Look at last year. You know, who would have thought going into the draft, the Chiefs' first-round draft pick would have been a running back, you know? So I think offensive line certainly is the most likely position group, tackle the most likely position, but I could see this going a number of different ways.
So if it's a wide receiver, I want Terrence Marshall Jr. because he's Joe Delaney's great-nephew, and he torched Mizzou till my eyes bled, but then Mizzou won the game, so it was fun. If Landon Dickerson falls from Alabama, that would be interesting to see if the Chiefs would pass on him. But at the end of the day, boy, I hope the right left tackle that they feel good about falls, because that would make me feel a lot better. Nate Bucati, what say you?
Well, I'm curious, Adam, if you think what the likelihood is that any more signings happen for the Chiefs before the draft, because, and if so, how much would that possibly affect what their priorities are in the draft?
Yeah, it would be unlike the Chiefs to go into the draft with some obvious holes. And left tackle obviously is the big one here that we know, and I still think wide receiver would be one. But that doesn't mean they couldn't do something afterwards if they can't get what they want in the draft. So I still think there's a likelihood. We got, 2.5 weeks, something like that, until the draft starts. So I think there's a likelihood that something. We'll see. We'll see which way this ends up going. But I do have my eye on that for sure.
Do you have a feel for what free agent they'd be most interested in? Because I felt like it was just kind of, Russell Okung or Villanueva, and it wouldn't matter much. And the word is that Villanueva has been wanting a multi-year deal, and their teams haven't been willing to give him that. And then Adam Kaplan came on the show, who has a lot more knowledge in these free agents about these free agents than I do, and said, no, Villanueva is the guy. There's a big gap between Villanueva and then Okung is kind of the consolation prize. Do you have a feel for who the Chiefs, if they did sign one of those guys, who they'd be more likely to sign?
Well, Okung is the one that it seems like they have the more interest in, but the fact that, here we are, a month into free agency, and nothing's happened there, leads you to believe that the Chiefs are not that hot on them. At some point, those players are probably going to have to take something that they don't like. I think there's going to be some leverage on both sides. I mean, right now, the Chiefs can afford to be patient, knowing that they have the draft to get a tackle. But if the draft comes and goes and the Chiefs can't get what they want there, then the leverage shifts to the player a little bit. So, we'll see what happens. But at some point, somebody's going to have to blink on this. The Chiefs are either going to have to give it a bigger deal than they might like, or the player's going to have to take a one-year deal.
So, Adam, you mentioned that you're intrigued by some of the things the Chiefs could do at the wide receiver position, and you referenced their apparent and reported interest in free agents like Juju Smith-Schuster. And he spoke himself about how, according to him, Andy Reid was texting him pictures of Super Bowl trophies, so which would indicate they were very interested in him. Does that tell us that they being the Chiefs, do not hold a lot of optimism that Mecole Hardman will take a big step forward in this, his third season? Because sometimes you hear about, oh, it's that third season that the wide receivers really start to figure things out. Should we infer that the Chiefs aren't necessarily that optimistic about that with Mecole Hardman?
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. I mean, forget about what they've said about Hardman. Just their actions with him since he's been with the Chiefs would indicate they're just not comfortable with him in any kind of role beyond what he's had for 2 years now. I mean, last year, when Sammy Watkins was out, look who picked up most of the extra snaps. I mean, it was not really Mecole Hardman. His workload really didn't go up that much for the most part. It was more DeMarcus Robinson. So that tells you what the Chiefs think a little bit. So it's going to take a leap of faith and a huge change of attitude for them to all of a sudden say, okay, we're good with Mecole Hardman being their number two guy. You know, maybe it works out that way, that it happens for them, that he is their number two receiver next year. Maybe he takes a step forward this offseason. But all of their actions up to this point, including their offer to Juju Smith-Schuster, would indicate that they don't feel that with Mecole Hardman. Because if you really felt that strongly about Hardman, why are you interested in Smith-Schuster?
Good point. We have Adam Teicher on the line. Adam, they did have Melvin Ingram in for a visit, and I would have liked that signing. I guess it's still possible. He's a free agent. What kind of priority do you put on adding a guy like Melvin Ingram and giving another edge rusher to the defense?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs could use two. They could stand another player at that spot. You know, they lost Tano Passanio, as we know. Alex Okafor is unsigned. So the Chiefs lost two guys from their rotation from last year. So, you know, they still have Mike Dana, but I think the Chiefs need to do something there. Ingram would be a good solution, I think. You know, they have Taco coming back, so, you know, but he's been more of a situational player, as we know. I don't think they look at him as an every down guy, as a first and second down guy. So I think the Chiefs need to do something there. Now, obviously, they have the draft to get that done. You know, maybe with the addition of Jaron Reed, that Chris Jones ends up playing outside more than he has since he's been with the Chiefs. So we'll see what they do there. But, I do think Ingram would be a nice addition. And I'll throw him in with those veteran offensive tackles. At some point, either the Chiefs are going to have to give him a little more than they've been willing to do so far, or he's going to have to adjust his expectations and take less.
Last year, I thought that Bashaud Breeland was going to get a multi-year deal and leave the Chiefs. They brought him back. And this year, I kind of thought the same thing. It hasn't happened. Are they going to bring him back again? I'd like that.
Yeah, I think he's a good fit. But you know what? I know a lot of people are talking about corner as a big need for the Chiefs. I don't see it that way. What Snead did last year, I think you have a number one corner there, or certainly you feel pretty good that he's going to develop into one if you don't feel like he's there yet. I really like what DeAndre Baker did, albeit in limited capacity last year before he got hurt. And, you know, he may not make it back anytime soon, but I feel for the long term, you know, he might be a solution there. They do have Charvarius Ward. They've got Rashad Fenton. So I think the Chiefs have some bodies there. They got O.P. Keys, who they played a little bit toward the end of the season. So I think there's some bodies there. I don't think that's a huge need for the Chiefs. I mean, certainly you'd feel better if they would re-sign Breeland, but I don't think that's absolutely necessary. And it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see the Chiefs go for a corner in the draft. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think that's something they have to do.
Well, one thing that's interesting about all those names you just listed off there, Adam, is that those aren't, we're not talking about a bunch of first-round picks or guys they traded away first-round picks to get. These are guys that are mid- to late-round draft picks or, you know, in the case of Ward, a low-level trade to bring them in. They haven't had to invest a lot in those positions, and they've had success. Do you think that would affect the way they look at that position going forward? In other words, will they look at it and say, hey, man, we've had a lot of success finding these guys in the fourth round or later, so let's keep doing that?
Yeah, you know, Brett Beach's philosophy seems to be to build on defense, build the front seven, and then the secondary will more or less take care of itself.
They put a lot into safety with Matthew and Thornhill.
They invested heavily into Matthew, no doubt. Thornhill was a second-round pick, but a low second-round pick, you know, toward the end of the round. And so, I feel like that's more or less been his philosophy. And, you know, he really had panicked when it comes to finding guys for back there, other than the fact that he really felt like they had to have Tyrann Mathieu. And now we've known after two seasons of having him around, he brings a lot more than just on game day. I mean, we know that now. I mean, he's the guy who sort of ties everything together. He's that leader that the Chiefs really needed in their locker room. So you're getting more than just a safety there. But, you know, going back to Legarius Sneed, hey, if he was coming out in the draft now and you knew what you know about him, would he be a first-round pick? So I agree with you that the Chiefs haven't invested a lot in corner, but they've kind of found guys, they've made them into better players than where they were drafted. You know, even Charvarius Ward has been better than what you'd expect for that trade that the Chiefs made, where they traded a guy they were going to cut. Parker Anger, they traded him and got a guy who's been a useful player for them. So the Chiefs have been able to maximize their resources at corner, even though they haven't spent a lot.
And maybe they get lucky with DeAndre Baker because he was a first-round talent in 2019.
Yeah, right. And you know, again, that was a small sample size from that Chargers game at the end of last season. Before he got hurt, but boy, there was a lot to like in that video. I've gone back and watched him, and you know, that's a pretty good play from him, albeit a really small sample size. So we'll see where he is, but I think whenever it is that he comes back, I think you can say you can throw him into the mix, and you have an expectation that maybe he can be your second corner.
Thank you, Adam. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, anytime, guys.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jake, but when Adam mentioned DeAndre Baker, it's almost like you react like, oh, yeah, the guy that was taken number 30 overall in the 2019 draft.
It was like, oh, yeah.
And then, oh, yeah, the Chiefs signed him. And that's not, I mean, look, there was obviously the situation that led him to his departure from the Giants, but if they feel comfortable with everything with him off the field, that football-wise, that's a risk worth taking. He was the 30th pick overall in the 2019 draft. And when you say you like something on film, it sounds like, wow, we like this guy that was undrafted free agent. He's got pedigree. And if he can get healthy and get his mind right, then they end up with a guy that was just taken in the first round 2 years ago, which would be tremendous luck. So, and look, they went out and got him.
Yeah, they did.
And he chose the come to Kansas City, so not just luck, but still, it's those guys don't get released from their teams like that very often a year after they were drafted. So there were some other things going on, but what do I tell you? He's a Chief now. We'll take a break. Back after this with Julian Marquez on Sports Radio 810 WHB.